Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Luke records a plethora of events from Jesus' ministry at the end of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13. All that Luke records takes place while Jesus is still dead set on going to Jerusalem for the final showdown with the religious leaders of the people, but more importantly, with sin, death, and the power of the devil. After reporting a series of events, including words about the necessity of repentance over sin and a healing that takes place once again on the Sabbath, Luke transitions his reporting with these words. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. At some point, in that abundance of teaching and journeying, Jesus had taught enough about the kingdom of God to get at least one follower to wonder, will those who are saved be few? And isn't that an ever-pressing question? It is especially so in this time of the church's history, when we are so much aware of what is called the church growth movement, that way of doing church that utilizes all the best that pragmatism has to offer. That is, do whatever it takes to get people into the churches, even if it means confusing law and gospel. And even if it means preaching Jesus as anything but Savior. And even if it means getting rid of the cross entirely. The reality is that even if every church here on earth was filled to the brim each and every Sunday, because every attempt to get the seats filled had succeeded, does not mean that the church has actually seen growth. Answering the questioner, Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." In essence, yes, those who are saved will be few in the scope of all of the entirety of human history. But when considered as the numbered saints of God's great kingdom, it will be, as the scriptures proclaim, a great multitude that no one can number. Jesus' words here in Luke's gospel hearken for us his words also in the Sermon on the Mount, where he similarly says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Perhaps the biggest struggle with these words is that they lead many, even Christians, you and me, into a mindset of judging God. That is not to say that was the intent of the questioner in Luke's gospel, but it can sound as though the notion of only a few being saved is not very loving. And truly taking these words to heart would seem to put a damper on any serious attempt at evangelism and outreach. For what good would our efforts really be if so many would go down the wide path of destruction anyway? And why would God give such a command as to go and baptize if the number to be saved was really only a few? Every Christian struggles with this teaching at some point, and some may never get over it. You may even find it impossible to reconcile the great love of God with the narrow door that leads to Him. What such judgments on our part assumes is that all of mankind has at least earned a shot at salvation. At least every single person should have a chance to be saved, as if God owed us such a thing. Such judgment, however, forgets our own natural born state, that we are conceived in sin, born dead in trespasses, that we are by nature sinful and unclean, justly deserving God's present and eternal punishment. You and I forget our sinful nature, our inheritance of sin from our first father, Adam. And that not a one of us is even good. When that reality sinks in, when you do not fight it anymore, you comprehend the totality of your depravity, and the judging of God stops, and the praising of God begins. For it is then that the sweetness of the gospel is tasted. When all there is to the law is bitterness and death, the gospel bursts forth in its sugary sweetness and life. Then you understand the glorious truth that there is a narrow door at all, for there need not be one. You do not deserve it. I do not deserve it. The most pious Christian saint who has ever lived did not deserve it. And yet there it is. Narrow though it may be in size and in time, for it will not last forever. There is only one door to God. It is narrow. But it is good, dependable, for it is Christ. It is such a good and solid door because of what Jesus Christ was setting His face toward Jerusalem to do. Be the atonement of sin for all. Christ's death pleased the Father. Christ and Him crucified is the narrow door. It is open. All can enter it, but the time of its openness is narrow. When death comes or our Lord returns, if you are found trusting in Christ alone for salvation from sin, then you are already through the door. But if you are found unbelieving, you are shut out forever with the haunting words of Christ lingering in your ears. I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil. Strive to enter through the narrow door. It is open. You are baptized. You have been absolved. You have been forgiven. Your sins are paid for. In a very real sense, you are already through the door. Because of Jesus Christ, what He has done for you, all of you, the whole of you, cleansing you from your sin with His own blood. And people will come from east and west, from the north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. That is you. The people chosen in Christ to recline at His table in the kingdom of God. What a joy to know that God has chosen you, His elect from every nation, to wear the robe of righteousness won by Jesus. Yes, the door to God is narrow. Yes, the number of those to be saved compared to all who have ever lived or ever will live are few. But what of it? Rejoice that there is a door at all and that you have been chosen as one of God's people to be numbered with the saints. For there need not be a door and there need not be any saved at all. And yet it is God's good and gracious will that it is so through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen.